Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Well, California's in trouble. They're using too much of the Colorado River. They're taking too much water. And the, Gail Norton, she used to be the Colorado Attorney General, and she's now the Interior Secretary, appointed by W, and she's threatening to punish California by cutting off a significant amount of water within the next couple weeks if they don't wean themselves off of their overuse of that water. So maybe we'll talk about that a bit later, about the government's role in infrastructure and water rights, determining water rights. Oh, and last night, a woman who attends Denver Bible Church, calling into the show, said that she was looking for vengeance. And then the pastor of Denver Bible Church did not correct her. So why is that? What's with that? Oh, wait a minute. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, Bob Enyart. And one of our members called in, talked about this one particular Colorado Roman Catholic priest who molested a cousin of hers years ago by getting him drunk just right after his dad died, befriending him, getting him drunk on trips, and sexually molesting him repeatedly. And he became an alcoholic from then and turned against God, lived a life of depression, and eventually committed suicide. And she said, I can't wait for vengeance. And I didn't correct her. So why not? Is it wrong to look for vengeance? Is vengeance a good thing or a bad thing? If you think you know, give us a call, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Or if you're wondering, give us a call, 800-8-ENYART. And what have we said for years about gang violence? Gang violence goes down. And I pointed out that it's not that we're solving the crime problem, but it's just cyclical. It's like the casualty rate in a war. It's not always at the peak. It's cyclical. It goes up and down based on the availability of bodies, the availability of targets. And we didn't lower the crime rate. We simply postponed the crime rate. How do we postpone the crime rate? Well, we had 1 million people in jail at the beginning of the 90s, and at the end of the 90s, we had about 2 million people in jail here in America. And so we also warned people that since we didn't lower the crime rate, we only postponed it when people start getting out of jail and on parole, then the crime rate will go back up. And there's a Reuters story out this week about Los Angeles, the police chief in L.A. asking the federal government to help with their out-of-control gang problem. So let's go to the phones. In Loveland, Colorado, Ray, speak your mind.
Hello.
Is this Ray Graybar?
Yes. Hello, Bob.
Our own PR guy.
Yes, I thought I'd give you a call tonight. How's everything going?
All right. Well, things are great, Ray. Hey, thanks for getting me on every other talk show out there. Appreciate that.
It's a pleasure. I specifically would like to talk about the interview you done on the O'Reilly Factor last Friday.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, that was enjoyable.
That was. You know, I liked the way you first started it out. You know, you this particular segment was called the Impact segment that you were on. And it was used as a promo earlier in the evening, so I thought that was quite interesting.
Oh, that is good. That's
and
always
the very
first,
good. The question that Mr. O'Reilly asked you, I liked your response.
Yeah.
Do you recall that?
Well, now you'll have to remind me. We talked about this a couple times, but Ray, you're the public relations pro, so I'm interested in your take on it. So, what? Remind me.
Well, he asked you a question if you would approve of what was going on there.
Right.
You answered back, why would you ask that question, Mr. O'Reilly? And then you started in. I mean, you set him up right off the bat, and I thought that was really good.
Oh, right, because they expect that as a conservative Christian, they expect you to play the role of the moron.
Right.
Right. That's his bias against conservative Christians.
Well, and most people don't realize that.
Yeah, and here, this couple out in California are putting dog waste in their son's backpack and taking naked pictures of him and threatening him to post them at the local school.
Right.
And locking him out of the house overnight. And he says, so, Pastor Enyart, do you approve of this family?
Right.
Well, O'Reilly, have you stopped molesting children yet?
Right.
I mean, what a stupid question to ask.
It was, and you seen to, you know, you seen it so quick. I was really amazed how fast you responded to him.
Mm. Well, I appreciate that.
And then, you know, when you got to talking about spanking, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but he tried to respond, but he did not have an automatic answer to it. He kind of fumbled around, and finally his best statement he could come up with, I don't hit anybody.
Oh, he said that?
He did. And I thought, you know, that was interesting because he was so set on what he was going to, present to you. And your way of bringing the liberal out of the conservative is really amazing.
And, of course, O'Reilly is not a conservative.
And that, he showed that last night or Friday night. Mm-hmm. And then, when you were talking about when you tell O'Reilly he's wrong, to his face, he really doesn't like that. And when you were talking about spanking works, and he said it doesn't. And then he told you to go ahead and get the report from the prison correction system.
Right.
And
where he said 90% of all inmates had been beat.
Right, and you said that you know, you're wrong. And he really didn't like that. Mm. Now, I have to tell you about something that he said tonight, and I would advise folks to maybe go ahead and watch the rerun.
All right, well, let me make the point I made to him was that the author of a study could make it say anything they want it to say, and if they're part of the holy war against spanking, then they're going to do a study of inmates and say these inmates were all spanked. It doesn't matter what the reality is. That's what they're going to say.
That's right.
Because that's the agenda they have in doing the study. They knew what they were going to conclude. It's like a graduate student trying to solve the world's problem in a research project, and lo and behold, they do every time.
And then, you know, he said to go ahead and you get that study. And then when you explained it just the way you did, why, he didn't quite know what to say. But I'm going to tell you what he said tonight about a particular study.
Yeah.
It's in regards to police pursuits that they were discussing tonight.
Yeah, in California, the high-speed chases.
Yeah.
All right, I want to hear after this break what O'Reilly said. Listener-supported radio right here in Bob Enyart Live. And our number, you can use it to call in on the air. The lines are filled right now. Or you can also use it to call in to order something or to make a pledge to help us stay on the air. Now, in Denver, our goal of staying on Denver, we're getting close to it. KLT is one of the top 10 most powerful radio stations in the country. 50,000 watts, on a low on the AM dial, which makes it very powerful. It's one of it's the most powerful Christian radio signal in the country, and it's our flagship station, 670 AM in Denver, KLT. And we would like to stay on that station, and we've looking at our budget and what it's going to cost over the next few months, the next year, we'd have about a $2,000 a month shortfall. And so we've asked if there's 20 people out there to pledge about $100 a month. Even though I went to public school, I sort of figured that out on a calculator. That would work out, and that would erase the shortfall and enable us to stay on long term. And so we went into last night's show with, on Friday we had 11, and then over the last couple of days we had 12. And we had a call last night from Boulder, Colorado, saying that she would make it 13. And that sounds great. That's exciting. That means we need seven more. And most of those people are now from Colorado, but quite a few from out of state. Wherever you are, if you'd like Bob and Yurt Live to stay on our flagship station, help strengthen the base of the show, then please call us, order our materials, or make a pledge and help us reach more people. All right. My call screener's looking at me sideways. He's, you know, I just washed my mouth and I can't do a thing with it. That's the problem. I can't even speak. But I'll figure out how to talk before the show's over. Now, hey, hello to everyone on the internet. And the plot manuscript, we've got a new album we're working on. And the title, well, the working title, maybe some people will give me feedback over the internet at kgovlive@aol.com and tell me what you think of the working title. It's called The Plot Boys. It's two guys from our church, ages 11 and 12, and we do a Bible study once a week where we're going through the overview of the whole Bible, and we're going to put it in albums for homeschool Bible curriculum. What do you think of that title? All right, so we're going to go back to Loveland, to Ray Graybar, our PR guy, then to Winter Park, Colorado, up at a ski resort, and we'll talk to Joe, and then Aurora, Colorado, Keisha. But back now to Ray. So, Ray, what did O'Reilly O'Reilly say tonight about a study?
Well, he was somebody mentioned a study to him, and they were in the midst of talking about this police pursuit, and he comes up with this statement. He says, "Oh, I'm not going to believe that report because any study can prove anything."
Ah!
And I said, "That's what Bob Inyard told him last Friday."
That's right. And he probably watched the rerun on Saturday.
He probably did.
So it's stuck in his noggin. And, you know, I wanted to, if I end up on that show again, in a similar circumstance, well, him or any other show, really, I'm going to ask, do you believe the results of every liberal study or just most of them, O'Reilly?
Good point.
Yeah. What's with that? So anyway, he's a liberal. You know, he's pro-homosexuality, pro-abortion, pro-evolution, anti-death penalty, anti-spanking. O'Reilly O'Reilly is a liberal. So, all right.
Well, Bob, also, you know, when he asked you to go ahead and pronounce the sentence on this on these folks, and you pronounced the sentence of flogging.
They should be flogged.
Yeah, and that really set him back. It set him back so bad, I don't know if you noticed, you probably wouldn't have.
No.
But it set him back to where he actually looks off to his right, which I assume there's a monitor there.
Yeah, oh, normally he looks at the person he's talking to really into his camera. Oh, so he looked away from the camera, and he wanted to say, who in the world am I talking to? Who is this guy?
Who is this guy?
So he looked at the monitor. He never looks at the monitor.
He always looks straight into the camera because he was addressing you and the audience.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really interesting.
Well,
it really
good.
Made an impact.
Good. We got to him a little bit.
Yes, you did.
All right, Ray.
That was a very good interview, Bob, and I have to say one more thing. It's not very often you can go on the O'Reilly Factor and actually make a statement and then have the time to go ahead and explain that statement. Mm. You've done more talking on that particular interview than most people get a chance to.
Well, you know, we're getting ready to put a transcript of that up on kgov.com, our website,
right.
kgov.com, because the transcript, you know, when we put a transcript up, people get to look a little bit more carefully about what was said. And
true.
The same thing happened on Politically Incorrect. You know, people... If I went on four or five times Politically Incorrect, and people come away with different perspectives, but when they read the transcripts, almost always they think it was a success.
The
conservative
Christians.
Well,
Bob, we're looking forward to seeing that transcript out on the internet.
All right, Ray. God bless you.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
I appreciate that. We had to take your call, Ray. We don't pay you enough to turn down your calls. You can only turn down a call of a staff member if you're paying them enough. Let's go to Winter Park, Colorado. Joe, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. This is Joe Scott.
Joe, I thought it was a guy.
Oh, well, lots of people do when I'm calling.
Joe Scott. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
This is the acclaimed pro-life activist whose husband is in jail right now, Ken Scott, for reading the Bible too loudly in front of the home of an abortionist.
That's right.
Yeah. How is your husband doing in jail?
He's okay. He's doing fine.
Good. Glad to hear. I tell him to call into the show again.
I have told him that. Sometimes the computer won't let him out, though.
Won't let him make a call.
Right.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
Okay. So, Joe, what's up?
Well, Bob, we've had an exciting few days. We saved a baby Friday, Saturday, and today.
You mean at the abortion mill?
At the abortion mill.
In Denver at Planned Parenthood?
Yes.
Now, is Planned Parenthood the largest child-killing provider in the country?
Yes.
They are? Nobody kills more kids for money than Planned Parenthood?
No.
Huh. All right. And so you saved a baby each of the last...
3 days.
Three killing days at the mill?
Yeah. Mondays, they're not open for killing.
Right.
So... That's why.
So an abortionist goes to Planned Parenthood Tuesday through Saturday.
Right.
All right. And tell me about one of those saves. Describe what happened. I'd like to know. I'd like the audience to hear. How do you save a baby who's scheduled to be killed that morning?
Well, today, four young people drove around the clinic three times. We knew they were going to come in.
Yeah. Now, I've gone to Planned Parenthood since the late 80s a few hundred times.
Yeah.
And we see these people who circle, and they're going for the abortion, and they see all these pro-life Christians out there, and they hesitate for whatever reason to go in.
Yeah, they're confused. I mean, Planned Parenthood has sheets up in the parking lot. We have signs up. There's people. It's very confusing. They're not sure which way to get in.
There's ladders with big signs, people holding signs, people on ladders.
It looks like a construction site.
Yeah, and it looks like a zoo, too, and it's just crazy, and we want that. We want there to be confusion.
That's right, and it worked in our favor today because they didn't go inside to the parking lot. They parked on the outside.
That is great.
Yeah. And I was able to, Leo is one of the picketers, Leo Manta, wonderful man. He was down in the corner and he spotted them pulling over and he called me. So I ran down the street and over to their car. Just as they had gotten out of their car, I reached them. And I gave them some information. They were Hispanic kids.
Right.
The young girl that was pregnant was 15. The father was 18, is 18. So I was able to, I carry this book with me with the gestational stages of the baby for them to look at. And I showed her, I asked her how far along her baby was. And she told me 10 weeks in Spanish. And I wasn't sure whether she could speak Spanish or English. So I was kind of fluctuating between both, and believe me, my Spanish is not good at all.
Yeah, diez semanas.
Yeah. And so I opened the book and showed her baby, and she began to cry. Oh. And then I showed her an abortion at 10 weeks.
Oh.
She screamed.
Oh.
She just screamed, and she threw herself into the arms of the boy, and he said, "She speaks English. She understands you."
Oh.
He was the father, and he didn't want the abortion.
Oh, my. And that's less common. Normally, the father or the boyfriend will be dragging the woman. They're even more interested in getting rid of this kid.
Absolutely. But she had, the father was with her and two other friends. All three of them were trying to talk her into keeping her baby.
Oh.
But she was adamant she was getting this abortion. So I took out of my pocket, I have this model of a 10-week-old baby, the same size and the same weight. And she wouldn't hold it, and she just screamed and cried. And I said, "You already love this baby. Look at the way you're crying."
Right. If this is just an appendectomy, you're getting appendix removed. People don't develop an emotional tie to their appendix.
That's right.
Yeah, there's no emotional scars after you have an appendix removed.
I asked her if she believed in Jesus, and she said yes. And I said, "What are you doing here? You believe in Jesus? Turn to him rather than these butchers." And it took me maybe 10 minutes to talk to her into keeping her baby.
Did the Planned Joe, thank you for being there, and thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
When I think about what I was doing today, it's so insignificant, the work I was doing, compared to you saved a baby from being killed today. Joe?
I'd like to tell you about the other one the other day. Do we have time for that?
We'll make time.
Okay. A young girl came, and she was 17. She was getting the abortion. There was no stopping her. She was not going to change her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her what the problem was, why she was going to get this abortion, and she said she was afraid of her parents. And I said, oh, your parents beat you. And she said, no, they don't. And I said, then they lock you in your room for days at a time and won't let you out. And she said, no, they don't. And I said, then they don't feed you and they pinch you when you're not looking and stuff. And she said, no, my parents love me.
Oh.
And I said, you're afraid of them? You're afraid of them and they love you?
That's so
These
great,
people John. Are racist. This was another Hispanic girl. And I was able to go through the racist aspect of Planned Parenthood with her.
Right. Planned Parenthood locates their referral clinics around minority high schools all over the country. Their founder, Margaret Sanger, had the Negro Project, how to reduce the number of blacks in the country. They were strongly anti-Semitic. They had the Nazi Dr. Ernst Rudin commissioned to do an article for Planned Parenthood's first newsletter, the Birth Control Review, edited by their founder and 30-year president, Margaret Sanger. So, yeah, they have a strong racist past.
That's right. And so I said, so if you have a child, your mother and father will love your child as much as they love you, won't they? And she said, yes. And I said, so what you're afraid of is disappointing them because you've done something they've taught you not to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you told them, they would be disappointed, maybe even angry for a little while, but they get over it, and they would still love you, wouldn't they? And she said, yes. And I said, how would they feel if they ever found out that you have killed your child?
Uh-huh.
And she said, they would not like it. And I said, well, why don't we call your parents?
Uh-huh.
And they went home. They left to go tell her parents.
Oh, Joe, and you think these are things that Planned Parenthood could do if they're really concerned about the woman? They could take a moment to find out if she really wants to do this. But instead, if a woman shows up at Planned Parenthood, it's a high-pressure sales technique to get – how much does an abortion cost now in the early stages?
$410.
$410 out of her. They don't take checks.
No, they don't. Cash only.
At Planned Parenthood. So $410 for a procedure – that takes the abortionist, what, less than 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a high cash volume business, high pressured sales. When you were talking to the Hispanic woman today, were the death squirts, the Planned Parenthood workers, the death squirts, were they there?
They didn't interfere today because they parked around the back. They didn't even see them.
So if they had known...
They will interfere every time.
Right. They rush out and they do their best to obscure, you know, any pro-life pictures or so that they can't hear what we're saying to them, the help that we offer them. They try to make sure that we cannot communicate. They do their best to make sure we can't offer an alternative, and they rush them into the mill and prepare them for the abortionist to kill the baby.
That's right. Yesterday, the security guard at Planned Parenthood got angry with me and came out and pushed me. And I told him he couldn't push me again or I'd call the police. And then he spent the rest of the morning calling me names.
Oh, that's common, huh? Next time. I'm talking to Joe Scott here. Well, next time we talk on the air. All right? That's Joe is just great. Thank you. God bless you. Bye. All right. Now, we're in a commercial break, right? Right. 1-800-8-NYART. That's the number to get on the air. And the number to order materials, our videotapes. We've got Mount Moriah. Have you seen that video? The evidence for the resurrection, the historic and geographic evidence, the biblical evidence. There is a mountain of evidence that Christ rose from the dead, just a mountain of evidence. It is so cool to see it, and the evidence that remains to this day, to this day. There is compelling evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If you're not a Christian, if you don't think Christ rose from the dead, then call us up and tell us, and we'll send you a copy of Mount Moriah for free. If you are a Christian, then we can't send it to you for free because we'd go broke in about 2 weeks. We'd be off the air, and we don't want to do that. So we sell our materials, and we offer a money-back guarantee. If you don't think it was valuable, if you didn't love it, if you didn't learn or enjoy it, then let us know, and we'll refund your money. But that Mount Moriah video, the evidence for the resurrection, 2 hours, it's $24.95. And we produced it in studio, and it's got a really nice cover. You got to, it's a nice video for a church library, or a secular library for that matter, a public library. But if you order it, then you could watch it. And if you have any friends or relatives who are not Christians, this is a video for someone who's a bit more of a thinking person. You know, young kids have told us they love this video. In fact, some families have told us their young kids have memorized statements out of the video. I don't know why. It's not geared toward young kids. But young kids have liked it. Many unbelievers have come to the Lord through the show. So give us a call. All right. During that internet break, we told people about the Mount Moriah video. A lot of unbelievers have become Christians by watching that video we offer, Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. And if you're not a Christian, then give us a call, 1-800-8-NYART. During the show, before, after the show, during the week, and we'll send you that video for free, Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. If you are a Christian and you want that video to give to someone, then we can't provide it for free. We'd go broke in about 2 weeks and be off the air, and we want to reach more and more people, so we don't want to go off the air. But if you're not a Christian and you want to see it for yourself, then give us a call, and we will send you the video. We will even absorb the cost of the shipping and handling and the reproduction and all that. So, and that's, the video is called Mount Moriah. If you haven't seen that video, you might want to see it. It's really neat, and a money-back guarantee, too. In Aurora, Colorado, Keisha, speak your mind. Hello, Keisha.
Hello.
Howdy.
Hi. It seems like there's a contradiction because...
Yeah.
God didn't God say that vengeance is the Lord's?
Vengeance.
And yet, you know, you're talking about that you want vengeance.
Yeah.
Christians want vengeance.
Right.
And I don't understand that concept.
All right. Yeah. The woman at Denver Bible Church, the church that I pastor here in the Denver area. By the way, we're right near Hampton and Wadsworth, and we meet in a Seventh-day Adventist facility. One of our church members said yesterday she can't wait for vengeance. And so the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, says God. So, Keisha, to talk through that, is vengeance a good thing or a bad thing?
It's good.
It's good. Now, a lot of Christians, that's a great answer. Keisha, how long have you been listening to this show?
Probably a couple months.
All right. Okay, because that's a great answer. Most Christians, especially if you catch them off guard, they think vengeance is somehow bad. But God is a vengeful God, meaning that if you hurt his loved ones and you do not repent, he is going to throw the book at you. Just like if someone hurt my children, I would want that person punished to the full extent of what is right and just. And I would want vengeance. However, the Bible teaches me that as an individual, since I'm not a governing official, I cannot exact vengeance. If someone hurts someone in my family, I can't go and kill that person or beat that person up. I have to trust God that eventually right will win out and that person will be punished appropriately unless they repent. And if they repent, then I'll be thrilled and I'll celebrate with them that they've repented and they're sorry for what they did. But God assures us that he will repay the wicked after death. But in this life, in Romans 12, it says that God says, vengeance is mine, give place to wrath. In other words, it's not my place to bring vengeance, it's God's place. But then in Romans 13, God says that he delegates vengeance to the government so that the governing authorities should bring vengeance against the criminals. So we should want the government to obey God, not to dishonor him, and to punish, to terrorize and painfully punish the criminals, like terrorists, rapists, murderers. So they should bring vengeance against the criminals, and we should want that to happen because we should want the government to be righteous, not to be wicked. That's why when wickedness is done, when criminals hurt people, Christians should look forward to the vengeance, but have the self-control to know that they should not exact it themselves. Does that help explain what appeared to be a contradiction?
Yes.
All right. All right, Keisha, I appreciate that. Anything else?
Well, I was just, holding that point of view, why are you for guns and stuff like that?
Because God in the Bible also advocates self-defense. That if someone broke into my home and they're going to hurt my wife or my children, or even me, they're going to try to kill me or injure me so that I can't provide for my wife and children, then I'm going to do everything I can up to and including lethal force to kill the criminal if he's a sufficient threat on my life or my family. So God advocates self-defense. And a man who would stand by and allow himself or his wife or his daughters to be victimized by a criminal because the criminal is armed and he's against guns? Why would he be against guns? In the Bible, David, when the men of God who ruled in Israel, whom God loved, they made sure every man had a sword or a spear. But when, like the Philistines who were wicked, when they occupied Israel, they took away all the swords and the spears. They disarmed the people. And so it's evil governments that disarm law-abiding citizens.
What about the martyrs?
What about the martyrs?
If you're a martyr, like if you were called to die for Christ,
mm-hmm.
Would you want to have a gun then?
Well, that is a really great point. Let's distinguish a couple things, distinguish between a couple possibilities. One is if a criminal is coming into your house to rape your wife, that's not you being a martyr. If you were to allow that to happen, that would be you being a fool and a really miserable wretch of a man. So that wouldn't be being a martyr. When the government, I got to think through your question, actually, Keisha. It's a good question. Our courts have ruled that if the government is in the wrong, let's say there's some out of control cops and they break into your home and they beat you up in the past and they don't have a valid search warrant and they're breaking into your home again and you pull out a gun and you shoot them in self-defense, our courts have ruled that that's legal. Now, I don't advocate that people shoot cops, But the point I'm making is even in that horrendous situation, our American courts have ruled that that's legal and you could defend yourself from unlawful behavior. In Germany, if I was there, like with the Tenenbaums, with the hiding place, Corey Tenenbaum, Tenboom. If I were there and I was hiding Jewish children in my home and some Nazis officials came in to kill those kids and it's in the middle of World War II, I would kill those Nazi officials if I could to save those Jewish children. I would do that if I could. Now, if I am preaching Jesus Christ and I'm arrested for preaching Christ, I would not. Now, I'm thinking through this. My initial reaction is I would not use force to kill the arresting officers. I wouldn't do that. And then I'd end up in custody. And if they were to kill, as been done to countless thousands of Christians who've been killed for preaching the gospel, no, I would not use force in that circumstance. I would not. I would preach the gospel. I would preach to my captors, to the judge, and I would warn them of the coming judgment. So there's circumstances under which you use a gun for self-defense, but as a general rule, you do not use a gun against your own government. That's a general rule. You could run like King David. When Saul wanted to kill David, David didn't comply, but he ran. And he had the opportunity to use his sword to kill King Saul, but he didn't, because he recognized governmental authority even when it's corrupt. But he ran, and I think, and I would do likewise. If I could get away, if they were coming after me because I was preaching the gospel and I had a fear for my life, I very well may run, and they'd have to catch me. Well, Keisha, thank you for your question.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Very interesting. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. David, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. Like we hear on a lot of the shows, long-time listener, first-time caller.
All right.
I call to ask the opinion of a like-minded, experienced brother regarding the Christian perspective, ardently, outspokenly, unapologetically.
Right.
In a public forum, do you think that it's possible for... like I said, the Christian perspective.
All right.
Without kid gloves.
All right.
To be not just argued, but permitted by corporate radio. Because, and I ask you that because I know that this is your
David,
game.
We're going to a break. I hope you get the question out after the break. Bob Enyard here. This right now, our radio affiliates are going to their own local breaks, and we're doing an internet spot. And I'm thrilled with David calling, and I'm eager to talk to a first-time caller, and I want to hear what the question was. I was hoping I could think through an answer during the break. Now I don't know the question yet. So we'll get to David as soon as we get back on the air on our radio affiliates. Right now, this spot is only for those of you listening on the internet or listening if you order the Best of Bob subscription, the 8 best shows of the month, or if you're listening on a CD-ROM that somebody burned for you by downloading an MP3 off the web. So that's the audience. And for you guys, I was telling you earlier about the Plot Boys. The Plot Boys, the audio... curriculum, homeschool Bible curriculum we're putting together, where I get to do a Bible study once a week for 1 hour with an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old from our church, Denver Bible Church. We study the Bible together and we record it. And we're in the process of putting these together in albums. And then we're hoping that they might be useful to families who are homeschooling who want their kids to learn the Bible. And what's neat about this, I think, since these two young guys, it's my gut feel that if we were to get, let's say we were to get 20 seminary students, people who want to be ministers, and we were to put these two guys, so 22 people, and gave them all a quiz on the Bible, a test, I think these two guys would be among the top 10% on the quiz, meaning that they would score 1 and 2. That's my gut feel. Just take 20 average seminary students. Yeah, let them be seniors. They could be seniors. That's fine. Let them be seniors in seminary. So, and I want to encourage families to know that their kids could really know the Bible. If these kids could know the Bible, then other kids could know the Bible. And that's the goal of the Plot Boys series. So, oh, and tell us what you think of that title. All right, now, this is Bob Enyart here, 1-800-836-9278. This must be one wallop of a question coming. So I'm going to ask, David, spit it out. What's the question?
Was that too long of a preface?
You're fine. You're doing fine.
I'll try to cut to the chase then. Basically, on some of the larger stations, do you think, from the corporate perspective—
You mean Christian corporate?
No.
Secular corporate.
Yes, definitely.
Like Clear Channel.
Clear Channel, right. A newer station in town also. KNUS, that's different. I think that this wouldn't quite apply to them.
KNUS, which is owned by Salem.
Right.
Salem is the largest Christian broadcaster in the country, but that's one of their secular stations.
Would you, from some of those stations' perspectives, not particularly Salem, but the others— Would they tolerate, and if their first commitment is business and ratings,
the answer is no.
Would they tolerate a compelling radio from a pro-Christian perspective, or do you think it's more likely that that is a prohibited perspective?
Yeah, that is censored. You cannot get on Clear Channel a talk show that says that homosexuals are sinning for being homosexual. You can't have a show and say that on Clear Channel. You can't have a committed Christian. That's my take and my observation for being interested in talk radio since the 1970s. You can't do it on secular networks for the most part.
Even for the new kid in town, do you think?
What, KNUS?
No. KNRC.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've not listened to them. I did hear that they were out there. But who owns them?
Phil Anschutz.
Ah, now there's, that gives you a little tiny speck of hope.
But since his first commitment, I would think, and you'd probably agree, would probably be to the dollar, and they're slugging it out in a new field.
Yeah, now
you think they would allow that perspective? I don't.
Now, he's a Christian.
He is.
Yeah.
I never heard that. I never knew that.
Yeah, Phil Anschutz is a Christian. He's Colorado's wealthiest man, right? Billionaire. And he, what did he buy? 5-6% of Quest stock and became the controlling shareholder.
Right.
And he's succeeding in basically staying out of trouble, I think, with all the Quest scandals. But I think no. That's my gut feel, and maybe
that's my fear also. And I wanted to ask you because you speak from a position of experience.
Yeah. Well, let me give you an example. We were on TV in about 80 markets.
I remember watching you
for a few years, and we worked for months to get Sears to advertise. And so they threw us a bone with Sears siding, and every response they got, we would get $50. And we're on in 80 markets, and they've advertised this stuff for years. So we started running the spots, and in the first week, they were thrilled with the response. It was overwhelming. And then a couple homosexual groups got together and contacted Sears corporate headquarters, and the very day they contacted them, Sears canceled that day. And that story sort of played itself out over dozens of times.
And that will always make the corporate buckle, won't it?
Oh, there's no question. Like Cracker Barrel restaurant chain. You know about them, right?
Sure.
And I heard years ago they were owned by Christians. I don't know. They might be. But just a few weeks ago, they changed their corporate policy to not discriminate against homosexuals. And so then some Christian groups like American Family Association, they're trying to fight against that and get them to reverse their position. That is virtually an impossibility. That's sort of like trying to overcome the law of entropy.
See, originally it was J-Corp, now it's Clear Channel. I've done a lot of arguing just because mostly responding to the host's provocation. And I've heard you on a few times in the past, too.
Yeah.
I've called in. I've even defended you because I generally would take the same positions as you.
Wow.
And so I've argued with J. Marvin specifically regarding, you know.
J. Marvin.
And Reggie Rivers.
Now, Reggie Rivers, former Bronco.
Right.
Who had a talk show for a few years.
Right.
And Reggie is the guy who wrote a column in the Denver Post saying that while he doesn't condone killing Christians, he understands why the Romans would do so. And could you imagine if a conservative said, while I don't condone lynching blacks?
I had intended almost to be a demo tape, and what it was generally regard, it was me calling in response to their provocation, and sometimes I even asked, is it company policy for all on-air talent to be hostile to Christianity? Because without exception, that was all of their positions, always.
Right, they're all hostile to Christianity, exactly. And Christians, the Christian alternative is pretty much pablum. It's so nice and loving and gentle and soft and tender. And for the most part, Christian media, radio and TV gets, you know, minimal ratings compared to secular. There's a lot of reasons for that. But one reason is because it's so blasé that, you know, it turns out most men don't want to tune into a show that says you have to forgive everyone and love everyone at all times under all circumstances, and you can't judge. So the largest Christian programs have mostly women in the audience, and a lot of them get funded by, you know, lonely widows, a lot of the Christian TV shows.
And I think someone like us who would be willing to go out there and actually make it an intellectual slugfest, more than willing to take that black eye, could and does make for compelling radio.
Well, like Ray Graybar said earlier in the show, that O'Reilly was pre-recorded a couple hours before it aired on Friday. And so they used the segment that I was out of the hour show, or 50 minutes, the 4 minutes I was on, they pulled the promo from that. Well, that was usually true with Politically Incorrect. You know, the promo, I think every time I was on that show, the promo was me and Bill Maher going at it.
Right.
And we are compelling. In fact, we had Nielsen ratings when Bob and Yurt Live was a TV show and a radio show. We had Nielsen ratings in South Bend, Indiana. We'd hit a peak of 8, 10, or 12 shares. And a 12 share meant that 1 out of 8 TVs turned on were tuned into Bob and Yurt Live. 1 out of 8.
Which, if the commitment is to ratings, how can they argue that? How can they oppose that? Unless
because,
it's ahead of time, which is why I was asking, my fear.
Because no one will advertise on a show that says homosexuals are perverted. Abortion is murder. And the government schools are destructive. Nobody's going to advertise on that show. Not even a good Christian business. Because they don't want to put up with the grief of the threatened boycotts.
And that's why the corporations, maybe even Phil Anschutz's corp, wouldn't go there
Right.
Because in the end, the ultimate loyalty is really going to be to the dollar.
Well, when you're running a business, you can't run a business if you're going to go broke.
I understand.
And if a, you know, if a Christian plumber, he's not obligated to preach the gospel to all his customers because he might never get invited back.
Well, I see. Now Sean Hannity vaguely references always a pro-Christian perspective, but when it comes right down to it, he will always pull back rather than offending anyone.
Right, right, exactly.
On a new station, the upstart in town, and knowing full well the limits of this, the rules of the game on that particular playing field,
right,
and a particular individual who would certainly push the limits much more than Hannity, but in the end would, simply to maintain that voice, do you think there's any chance they would allow a show that would comment on everything, and not specifically only a Christian show, a show that would comment on each and everything of pop culture, current events, news,
but at the same time,
wherever a Christian issue comes up, a person who would unabashedly be
Christian. I'd say go for it, but, you know, and try not to get discouraged. Just go for it. That's what I would do. You know Pax TV?
Yes.
Bud Paxson, he made $1 billion or so with the shopping network. He bought these little UHF stations, built the shopping network, sold it for a fortune, and then bought these more powerful stations in all major markets, and he became the seventh largest network in the country. Now, was it CBS or ABC, I forget, who became a major partner with Bud Paxson now, Pax TV. Well, when Bud Paxson bought a station in Wisconsin, I called down there because in Florida, his headquarters, because I had been on that station for about a year at midnight to one, and now my show was canceled there because they were doing all reruns, and I just wanted to find out, who's this Paxnet? Who are you guys? So I called down there, and I got put through to Bud Paxson, who's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Now, you can't call Microsoft and talk to Bill Gates.
Right.
And he said, Mr. Enyart, let me tell you why you're talking to me right now, why you got through. He said, we have bought about 100 TV stations in all markets, and we get maybe a few complaints for putting an entire station off the air 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. When we put this Kenosha station off the air in Wisconsin, we got more complaints to our Florida headquarters, people who found out who we were and where we were, for your show from midnight to 1 a.m. than we've ever gotten for an entire station. What in the world are you doing at midnight to 1 a.m.? So I got to tell him. I got to pitch him. And Bud Paxson is a strong Christian. He tithes of the revenue Paxnet takes in to Christian ministries.
Well, the fact that you told me Anschutz is a Christian gives me a glimmer of hope, and maybe I will actually go through with this shortly and make an attempt.
David, keep us informed, all right?
Bob, if there's any way I can pull this off, I guarantee you'll hear from me.
All right, I like knowing that. God bless you. And so Bud Paxson, he spoke at the NRB last year, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I went up to him and I said, Bud, remember you bought that Kenosha station 5 years ago? And there was one show at midnight that got more action than anything you'd ever seen in broadcast TV. He said, yeah, I remember that. I said, that was me, my show, Bob Enyart Live. And he said, hey, Bob, let me shake your hand. That was amazing. I said, Bud, you want to do a talk show on Paxnet? It would be compelling, number one ratings getter. So anyway, I gave him my card. It was my Visa card with my phone number written on it. He just cracked up and he called me back.